What is up, guys? We are back for our third episode, our first interview in the show so far. We're very excited for this. Today we have John Carlock. We're very happy to have him with us and get to pick his brain for some knowledge. And Andre.
Yeah, so today is our first interview, as Christian mentioned. We have John Carlock. I know John just from a few family members. Rami and Max are my two cousins. So I met John a few years ago, and he has a really intriguing story. He's done a lot of things in business with social media, his own clothing company, and a lot of other things that we'll discuss in this episode. So we hope you enjoy it. And again, we just want to thank you guys for the support so far. We're really happy with where we are. We have a lot of interviews coming up. We're actually recording, I think it's three interviews on Saturdays, so there's going to be a lot of episodes rolling out. But yeah, just thank you and keep subscribing and listen to our episodes and let us know what you think. But let's get into it. What's up, guys? We're with John here. We're about to start this interview. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks. So we're gonna get right into it. Hope all is well. For our listeners that don't know you, could you give us like a short background of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. My name is John Carlock. I am 24 years old. I hail from the good old Binghamton, New York, home of the free carousels. Hoorah, hoorah. Yeah, that's where I live now. I met, as a quick background, I met you guys. Obviously, Andre, I met you through your family members, close friends of mine, and then, obviously introduced to you two here. And I'm just excited, to have this opportunity to speak with you guys and just, share my story and, my life as a whole.
All right, before we start here, could you tell us why did you want to share your story on our podcast today?
Well, it started off with just the first episode you guys had. Andre, I'll speak with Andre via text, give him some words of encouragement, giving him some tips here on, social media and how to increase his audience. And, just in our conversations, it aligns, that things that I've gone through and just due to my age, that your audience is basically going to be a perfect target for, the things that I've experienced, things I've self-learned, things I've been taught. And I think it's just a great opportunity for people out there who might be feeling discouraged, maybe about their age, about what they've accomplished to date or anything like that. And I just think my story is definitely replicated to people that can just kind of see, struggles, and maybe they're not coming from the background where they're, they had two, great supportive parents, they weren't able to go to school full time off the start, or they just had no direction. They were just kind of running aimlessly, or maybe they were a major athlete, and they hit a major setback via injury, and now they feel like they're stuck just going to classes and, doing the mundane life. But there's definitely a story on the other side of that, spectrum that I think I can give some insight into.
Yeah, that's great, John. I'm really excited to, dive deeper into your story. I know the basics, but obviously since we got here, I already learned a little bit more about you, so I'm excited to go through the rest of this interview. But tell us a little bit about your education experience, like with college and high school, and kind of the path you took and how it led you to where you are now.
For sure. Well, to start off, just in my life as in general, because of some of my upbringing, and you might know this, but I was adopted at the age of 11. So I live with my dad, who, he was selling drugs, running around doing things. But I didn't really know my mom. I never met her. I saw her maybe once or twice, during the adoption times. I didn't have a memory of her. So starting off, actually, I wasn't able to read until the fourth grade. So, I was pretty behind in school. We would skip from school to school between, New York, Philadelphia, basically wherever the money was for my dad at the time, and, wherever his audience was or whoever he was hanging out with. So that, was a struggle. And then when I was, put into foster care, eventually adopted by the same family, I was taught, work ethics. And my parents and I, to this day, still don't see eye to eye, my adopted parents, but I think it's just a struggle of, my environment and the upbringing. So education-wise, I was always behind. But I made a goal of mine to basically, and it was ingrained in me as well, to try to succeed. And you know, some of the people that I went to high school with can attest that, you know, I was always, you know, trying to be the top of the class. You know, I don't know if you guys took any AP classes, but, you know, at the time I was the only kid in the high school to get a 5 on the AP Euro exam and things like that. So, you know, I was always trying to, you know, educate myself out of the life that I had and into a better life. And then it came into the point where my goal was to go to West Point, you know, military academy. And I strived for that from sophomore year on. Well, 11th grade, between the summer of 11th and 12th grade, you know, that's when your application process is at its peak. And we had the flood in 2011. So it gave me some setbacks. My parents moved to Scranton. I stayed here to finish international baccalaureate program at Binghamton High School. And I moved in with a family friend. So it was basically, I felt like I was alone. I kind of got discouraged from that. I had a shoulder injury. And just going from there, it was just a hard process. You know, it was a lengthy process to get in. So then, in the summertime, I was going through some intramural programs to get started, you know, on that education path. And I suffered a major knee injury. So I injured or tore, basically I tore two of the major ligaments in my knee, and I sprained the other one. So that set me back, and then I opted to go, you know, to a basic training reserve route. So at this point, you know, I graduated in 2012. I would say my college education didn't start until late 2013 via online classes. And when I got home, I was still living in that rut. You know, through my whole life, I suffered with depression, and it just kind of always bogged down on my education and my advancement time in life. And I just felt like I was so far behind. You know, I was working at a gas station, at this time in 2013, so, you know, 5 years ago. I was working at a gas station, and I was in the reserves in the military, and I just didn't feel like things were going anywhere. I was going to online school. I was taking some classes here and there, you know, but it wasn't the greatest experience in that sense. But then I got a better job, and I started looking out and, you know, having a better experience with education. I have 7 personal training certificates. So that's in the form of education. I decided, you know, hey, fitness is my love, fitness is my life. And I'll go into that later on, if we get to that point in the conversation. But, it was just something that, you know, in education, I think I'll always keep learning. And I want to just people to hear out there that I went from working at a gas station to making over $60,000 a year without having a degree yet. So in that time frame, I hadn't even graduated. I didn't have a bachelor's degree, but between my multiple ventures, working full time, you know, and some other supplementary income, I was able to, you know, go from, you know, $8 an hour to making over $60,000.
Wow, that's incredible, John. Yeah, I've taken some AP classes myself, and I can tell you they're not easy, especially the Euro test. I never took it, but I had some friends that have taken it, and their results were definitely not close to what you had. But yeah, it's incredible. I'm just going to go a little off track here. You mentioned your passion was fitness, and a theme of our podcast is just how we can help these college students discover their passion and how they can find it. So I just want to ask you how you discovered your passion for fitness, and maybe some advice or some tips to our listeners and how they could discover theirs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first off, you know, I want to just say that if you're familiar with me or my company, you know that the slogan that we have is "It's a mindset." And for me, that went back to the ages of 16 and 17. I was going through some severe depression. I probably wrote my parents maybe 2 or 3 suicide notes. Never went through on anything. You know, I came close a couple times, but I was just in such a bad place in life that it felt like there was no way out. And when I would get angry or upset, my outlet was going to the YMCA, right? So I would go weightlifting. And I discovered weightlifting by, you know, participating on the football team and in their weightlifting trainings. So just that environment, and that ability to see that it was a stress reliever, it was just a huge deal for me to discover that through fitness and through going to the gym, it was a stress reliever. And then later on in life, I started at age 16. Obviously, I wasn't fully ingrained in it. You know, it was just a stress reliever at that point. But just to overcome mental obstacles, you know, and just self-perception, because my whole life I always felt like I was alone and that people just kind of left me to the side. I wanted to make it a point to better myself and to, you know, basically stand up for myself. And in that journey, I discovered that the greatest stress reliever in my life at that time was fitness. And through that, through the trainings and through just mental discovery and just, you know, looking at imagery and self-talk and all these other aspects that go into athletics, it definitely was something that I attached to and I grew with. And then getting those accreditations and allowing myself to have a secondary income via training people, you know, that was just a passion that I fell in love with, and I don't think I'll ever, you know, lose my love for fitness.
That's actually insanely funny because I'm currently writing my essay in my writing class about the mental and psychological benefits of fitness. So that was really fun to listen to, and I can't believe that you talked about that because I was just going over that in my class today. So we're going to move on to how you've been able to monetize your passion with your company, Paradigm Athletics.
Yeah, for sure. So it first started off, Paradigm is a year old at this point. The company was founded in June 2017. But prior to that, I had, you know, had some monetary gain on social media through my own personal branding. And that was via the online training with people, online coaching, just weight loss programs, diet programs, and things to that effect. So in that environment, you know, I think everyone and their mom is on Instagram or Facebook, right? So I was on Instagram and Facebook. I would post pictures of out with the boys and like take a picture of pizza and some Mountain Dew and some cookies, or take a picture of the sunset thinking everything was cool. 10 likes, 30 likes. I was never a hyper popular kid, right? So just in that environment of that mind space, if you think of, if I look back at it, right, I was viewing social media as a way of, if I got X amount of likes, that means that people I went to high school with like me, right? And I made it in life. When in reality, if you look at it, people that you went to high school with and the people that you know from your hometown aren't going to be your biggest supporters as you grow. It's just not going to happen. One, because a lot of times the monetary item isn't there. They're just close friends, right? Or they're going to support you with words, or in my opinion, they're not, might not support you because they don't want to see you succeed. Or on the flip side, they don't want to see you fail, so they're afraid for you to take those steps. And going back on track there, the social media is, I just discovered by looking at, you know, people in the fitness industry and their posts that there was just a huge monetary value by simply creating a niche and finding a target audience that these people can attract to. And I would say I actually just hit 10,000 followers on Instagram over the weekend, which is a huge accomplishment for me, you know, which isn't much, but for, you know, if you think about, I don't have a management team, I don't have professional photos done all the time. It was mostly just reaching out and spending time, you know, starting off, I was monetizing myself. I would spend 3 hours a day on Instagram, and I would do this by looking up the hashtag fitness and liking about 500 photos a day with that hashtag. I would literally go on there and go in the newsfeed and just scroll. I didn't even care if it was a picture of some juicy booty or someone's kale latte, right? I would literally like every single photo. Even if it was some dude who took a picture of his cat and put the hashtag fitness, that photo was getting liked because I was just scrolling through and liking photos. But I just knew that that was the way to grow my audience because you're not going to go viral. I mean, you have to realize that you're not going to go viral. And I think that's what people get discouraged on social media is in thinking that they're going to go viral. It's not going to happen. You're just not that funny, to be honest, or you don't have that one video that's going to make or break you. So not to sound like a complete ass, but it's a gradual process. And I think you guys will see that too, as you're growing your podcast is, you know, it's a gradual process. You're not going to have this one podcast that is going to launch you. You might, but you have to come to the realization that nothing's going to, you know, get to that point. So back on track to the monetary part, right? I just want to give you a brief just thing on how I think about that. Is I realized that there was opportunity. So I would go and I hit a next step. Once I got my certifications, I hit the next step of, I'm going to start online coaching. I'm going to start, you know, reaching out to people that I see in this world that, you know, they're posting the hashtag weight loss journey. I would DM them on Instagram once that feature came out. And I would say, hey, you know, I'm looking to, you know, grow my business and grow my personal training. How about I give you 4 weeks free training, see how you like working with me, and then we'll go from there. And, you know, people would either not see the message because that was filtered out, or they would, you know, say, who are you? You only have 580 followers, you know, or something like that. Or they would say, yeah, sure, sounds great. And through that, you know, I began charging people anywhere from, depending on their age and what they were doing and how much, you know, time needed, I would charge them anywhere between $50 and $150 a month. And there was that one point where I had, I mean, to this day, I have roughly 26 clients that I bill that way. And then through my company Paradigm, I have other trainers that work with me that handle other clients as well. But at one point in time, I had north of 65 people that I was, you know, working with, and I was dedicated to it. It wasn't just a laissez-faire, you know, hey, here's a program, stick with it. I was available via text, Skype, email, and I completely gave myself to that. And I think that that's just something that, you know, you don't see. You know, someone might look and, you know, someone that I went to high school with might look and say, how the hell did he get 10,000 followers? Well, I got that because I wasted my life away by double tapping buttons and commenting on people's photos and, you know, making myself known.
Yeah, that's some incredible advice, John. It's actually great that some of the points you mentioned really line up well with the message we're trying to send with this podcast. It's funny how many people think that businesses or even in this aspect, social media accounts are successful overnight, because that is the biggest myth that is out there. Like, there's no such thing as an overnight success. And as you mentioned, you have to gradually improve, and you do this either through self-education, putting actual hours and time and a lot of your effort towards your goals, and especially just setting goals like you mentioned. And a lot of people will come to realize this, and it's hard to accept that at first, because it's not easy work. Like I said, you're scrolling, you're literally just liking every picture, but it's what's necessary, and if you're passionate about it, then it's what you're gonna have to do. But yeah, I'm really happy you mentioned that, and it was a great answer.
Yeah, so back to what you said about spending 3 hours a day on Instagram just liking pictures to promote your identity on the app. For all of you out there that scroll through your feed liking Halloween posts for 3 hours a day, just realize that that time could be spent developing yourself and monetizing your passion. And I honestly never really thought about it like this, because I thought that you had to have a make or break post or vote to be famous. But like what John just said here, if you just spend time liking, doing mindless things, double tapping on a photo over and over, you can build your brand and eventually build a mini empire out of it if you want to.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's just to add to that thought is, you also, you have to realize that you're going to have to put the time in, and there's going to be a very minimal return on investment unless you also have the great content to go along with it. What I mean by that is, if you're liking these people photos, 9 times out of 10, these people that are putting these posts out there, you don't want to go to the most popular page and then like the photos, right? You want to go to the people that, you know, the only people that like them is their mom, their cat, and their uncle, right? You want to go to those photos because they're like, oh, this random dude liked my photo, and they're going to go to the account. And I'm not trying to sound like an ass in this scenario, but that's who you have to target. You're not ever, you know, going to target the large account, because 9 times out of 10, you might be really hype that Floyd Mayweather liked your photo. Well, guess what? That wasn't Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather doesn't use his own Instagram account. Are you kidding me? He has a managing team, right? And you guys have to realize that you have to have the time. If you're really serious about using social media, you have to put time in. And people that, if you even look at it, people who are very active, the accounts with millions, they post anywhere from 3 to 5 times a day, right? So you have to realize that. And they have managing teams now. They've made it, right? They're just getting booked, and they're having people do it for them. But you have to go in there. You have to follow. I used to like 300 photos, follow 50 people, and comment on 18 photos a day. That was my goal every single day. And, you know, sometimes did I do it while I should be doing something else? Sure. Did I do it at work sometimes when I was starting off working? Sure. Right. Or, you know, but if you have to realize that there's going to be opportunities for you out there. You just have to find those opportunities for yourself. They're not going to find you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Another point I want to make to that, like, if you guys are on a famous Instagram account, say ESPN or SportsCenter, and you see us, like, the notable comments will show up on the bottom nowadays, it'll say, like, somebody commented, like, wow, what a great video. They're not there to express their emotion for this video. They're there to put themselves out there and gain followers, and I just can't stress how important that is today and how honestly easy it is to access that, because Instagram is a click away, and you can just sit in your bed and do this as you please. You don't have to have any kind of platform or money to get started with that.
And another thing, too, if you're looking, just to add just one more thing that I want people to be aware of, is you're not going to grow your Instagram account if you treat it like it's your grandma's security company. What I mean by that is, if you want to use it for business and you're wondering why you don't grow followers, take your account off private. That's the biggest thing, is people aren't going to, you know, if they're a random person, they just want to check out your posts, then I can't do that if you don't have a public profile.
Another great point. I mean, this guy is just, for anyone that listens to this, you could gain so much from this. I am right now, honestly. But I want to move on to our next point. I want to discuss, what advice would you give to your 18-year-old self looking back with all the knowledge that you have today?
Well, first off, I would probably in 4 years, I'm probably going to say something similar to what I'm going to say now, is to relax. That's the biggest thing. Stop trying so hard. And that was my problem, is I was trying so hard to prove a point to people in my life, and it was a point that didn't even need to be proven, right? So you're 18, 19-year-old. Maybe you're sitting here now and you're 21, 22. You're still trying to seem like you made it to the people that you grew up with, to that kid that you sat next to in science class, to that kid that you sat next to on the school bus. You're hoping that they see you succeed, when in reality, they could care less, honestly. And it does, their opinion doesn't matter. And once you realize, and this is the biggest thing I tell myself, because I always had a problem with self-perception growing up. I always felt like I was one of the outcast kids, right? And my parents kept me out of a lot of things because they were very religious, very conservative. I wasn't allowed to go to friends' house. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18, you know. So also, too, keep that in mind. Most, so many people listening have an Instagram since you were 12. I started Instagram when I was 18. So just with that environment and that skill set of my head then, I was all about work, 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 work. And that's a great mentality. But back to my point of, it's a mindset of, you have to be both conscious of the construct that you've built around yourself. What I mean by that is, John Carluck on social media, yes, he's the same person as John Carluck sitting here with Andre, his close family friend, right? But he's not that same person at the same time. You always, growing up, you build a construct of who you want to be. That's not actually you. And along those lines is, you have to be aware of your shortcomings and don't try to hide them and don't try to make yourself seem bigger than you are. And that was my biggest struggle growing up. And if I had realized this much sooner, I would be well on my way to a different, you know, scaling of what I have going on now. Is because I was looking at my life of, I need to do this, do this, do this, do this. When in reality, if I was able to take a step back and just say, you know, this is not actually who I am. This is who I think people want me to be. This is who I think people think I am, right? I'm this tough kid. I'm this kid who's in, you know, going into the military, blah, 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 blah. When in reality, that's not me. That wasn't who I am. And I built that construct and I tried to live that life to make other people impressed. And I'm not sitting here preaching saying be yourself, because oftentimes being yourself is the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, because you might not be self-aware enough to understand life. And just so, to answer your question in a very short term, like I said before, looking back, I would just tell myself to relax and just kind of enjoy the ride and just work at things, but don't work at it to the point where you become so frustrated by other people not acknowledging. And I think that's a problem too with our generations, is we grew up in the participation trophy era. So even at work, when we do something small, we're expecting someone to notice it and point it out, when in reality that doesn't happen in the real world. So just because you scored 86 points in your high school basketball game, you know what I mean, doesn't mean that your family members are going to reach out to you and say good job. That's just, they could be busy. And just because you graduated basic training, like in my case, or just because you accomplished this or because you accomplished that and you put on social media and the people that you grew up with don't say, wow, you turned out to be a great guy, that doesn't happen in the real world. And you just got to realize that young, because if I realize that much sooner, you know, I might be sitting here with a completely different, you know, telling you where I'm sitting at in life.
There's some awesome points, John. And just to expand on that, like you said, a lot of people, what they struggle with is they see everything in the short-term view. And again, if you've listened to our first two episodes, and if you know me and if you know Christian, you know that our main focus is on the long-term, not the micro, but the macro. You want to build, again, gradually towards the long-term, and you don't do this through, you know, stressing yourself out to the point where you can't actually get any meaningful work done. So again, John has just shared some amazing insight with us so far. And I didn't realize how much he aligns with the things that we preach here on Real Talk University, but we're really just blessed to have him here.
Yeah, relax. Just give it a break, right? Just work what you got to work at, but at the same time, just enjoy life.
Definitely. So let's get into the next question here. So what are some of your fears or worries, if you've had any?
I think what worries me the most, if I'm being honest, is that I will. It's the same time. Like I said, I probably in 4 years, I'm looking back at myself and say, "Hey, relax," because I'm trying to think of where I'm going to be tomorrow, and a lot of times I'm not enjoy today. You know, my fiance, a lot of times, you know, she'll say things to me, and it almost seems like I'm forgetful, but I'm not. It's because I'm thinking about things that aren't haven't happened yet, that I sometimes can't enjoy things that are going on. And you know, I think that I'm fearful that, you know, I'm gonna miss out on things in life. And I think that's, you know, some things that if you're trying to grow your personal brand, trying to grow yourself, trying to grow a business, you're fearful, one, of the business not being successful, obviously, right? So I'm fearful that Paradigm's gonna, what might be a complete flop one day, you know. Or, you know, I'm also fearful that I will be successful, but then still not enjoy the outcome. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just a self-peering, you know, self-reflection of, you have to understand that where you're going to be is where you're going to be at that time. So, and you have to work at it, but at the same time, don't just go off to reckless abandon, because the worst thing you can do is just to be blindsided and not enjoy your life and not enjoy yourself. Because that's my biggest fear, is that I'm going to look back, you know, 4 years from now and say, sure, I did a great job, but did I enjoy what I was doing? And on the day-to-day basis, I love what I do. You know, I love my full-time job. You know, I love training people. I love, you know, going to the gym. I love, you know, Paradigm Athletics. I love the adventure. But my biggest fear is, in 4 years, or looking back, could I have done something more that made everything more meaningful?
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think that a lot of people, their worries are based on future events or things that maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, but they're always things that they can. So I would definitely add to that by saying, if you have a project due in the next week or so, but you're going out to dinner like tonight with your friends, take your mind off the project, go out and have fun with your friends, and then come back to worrying about it later. Because if you're constantly worrying about what's going on in the future, you're never going to be happy. And I'm even guilty of this. Like, being at Binghamton, the business program, I would say, is pretty prestigious, pretty high standing. So they preach a lot, like trying to find internships early, getting connected early. And we're just freshmen, and we don't have to worry about that for another 2 years or so. But it's always on the front of my mind.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And that's, too, just setting those goals, right? Everyone's like, oh, what's your 3-year, 5-year plan? It's like, yo, what's your tomorrow plan? Like, what do you want to accomplish between now and when you go to bed? And I think that's just – it makes you enjoy life more. And it's just from a psychology standpoint, it's just huge to both enjoy the moment and take those small wins. Because, you know, the next launch for Paradigm might not sell out, right? You know, no launch yet has sold out. I still have products from the very first launch. You know, I haven't taken any profit or, you know, paid myself out of the company. It's all going back into the company. And during the last two launches, I was worried. I was like, man, you know, these people that said they were going to support this, you know, they really didn't come through. And you got to realize that people are going to talk a big game and say, oh, I support your efforts, I support what you're doing. But when the time comes time to actually support you, they're nowhere to be found. And so along those lines, if you just have to enjoy it, just set goals for yourself. You know, focus on your life, but also just set those small goals so you feel accomplished day to day. And when you look back on your whole week on Saturday, on your work week, and you say, man, you know, Monday I killed it, Tuesday I killed it, Wednesday I killed it, Thursday I killed it, Friday I freaking killed it. You might not have done anything major, right? You might not have discovered the cure for cancer that week, but you might have, you know, wrote that paper, you know, prior to the due date. And I'm a serial procrastinator. Oh my God, I am a serial procrastinator. And I think that goes in line with just like being ultra like competitive, as I feel like, I'll get it done. I got this. But in reality, you just stretch yourself out way too much. So just get those things accomplished, set those small goals. And that's something I'm learning still to this day. So I can't preach, set the goals and get it done right away. Just set those goals and aim to accomplish them, because it's a much better feeling, trust me. It's a much better feeling than, looking back and saying, God, I wish I had done this so much differently this past week. And I think you should live your life in a long term, but also just live your life day to day and just set small goals. And wake up in the morning and set a goal for the day. And that's what I do every day. Just set a goal, right? It could be even as, sometimes for me, it's as simple as getting that crotchety lady at the office to laugh. That might be my goal for the day. Like, honestly, that could be one of your goals for the day. And it's a realistic goal because that's something you can feel better about from that moment forward. Like, yo, I got her to laugh, man. So it's just something as simple as that is that you don't have to be like, oh man, I have to get, Bill Gates to email me back today, or I have to, get my professor to, agree to this change in my grade or agree to this. Just set yourself up small goals, feel that accomplishment, and then realize that you can replicate that further and then set yourself bigger goals.
Definitely. That was amazing advice. I hope that all of you are able to stick by what he just said. But we're going to go on to the last question here. So, what do you recommend to our listeners to help them discover their passions?
I would say try everything. I mean, it's, for me, I didn't really discover my passion for fitness, like I said, at a young age, but I discovered that it was a stress reliever and it was a means of anger management for me. So I discovered it that way. But I would say try everything. And in terms of social media and monetizing that, sure, you have to find a niche. Maybe you're like fly fishing. Just search hashtag fly fishing or search, go to places and search the places where there's popular fly fishing locations, and just follow those account pages and look at what they're doing and see if that's a life that you would want to have, right? Or, say for instance, you guys on this in this journey are, looking at podcasts. I'm sure you didn't just decide one day you wanted to do a podcast. I'm sure you probably listened to, Gary V, or you listened to, a couple other people, and you've like, man, this is something that I'm passionate about. And you guys probably tasted your first podcast. You're like, this is awesome. Some people might do a first podcast and never do it again. And I think you just gotta try it, right? And you just gotta try things. And in discovering your passion, the worst thing you can do is listen to your mom. And I don't mean to sound like an ass, right? I mean, I'm really not close to my parents, right? But in that sense, the worst thing you can do is find your passion. Like I said, don't listen to your mom and don't listen to your best friend, because they're gonna do what they think is in your best interest. And they're just saying it out of love and out of friendship of, hey, you might not want to try that. Or, I don't know if you're going to be successful in that. Maybe you should focus on something more realistic, like, getting a job. Andre, instead of doing a podcast for 5 hours a week, why don't you go pick up a part-time job and make some real money? That's things that, because they're looking out for your future and they're looking out for you, that they're going to say. But you have to just take those risks. You're young. You guys are, both of you guys are, 3 to 4 years younger than I am, and you're gonna be okay. Anyone listening to this, you're gonna be fine. Unless somehow you've committed multiple felonies and you're, whatever, but you're gonna be okay, right? And just keep that in mind. You don't have to, launch Facebook. You don't have to, do these other things at age 21, 22. Everything's gonna be all right. And you have to realize that as some people will graduate college and not get a steady paying job for 5 years. Some people will get a steady paying job while they're in college and continue to work that job, and advance in that company and be like, well, I got a degree in finance and guess what? I am a manager of an AutoZone. But in their life, and if that's what you want to do, that's what you got to do. If you find passion in that, or if you find passion in anything, I'm not knocking any of those jobs, but you have to do what makes you happy. And whether that's, trying to develop startups or trying to just have a regular day-to-day job, just do what you have to do. It's not all about the money, it's not all about success, because the more money you have and the more success you have, I'm not rich by any means, but the more successful I am, the more stressed out I am. And I think you just have to realize that and just focus and just discover your passion. Just go after things that you might think are is stupid, right? If you like watch a video one time and you cliff jumping with a GoPro, try it. Do it once. If you die, well, you can't do it again. But if you get hurt, obviously you're not one, but if you're like, man, this is the greatest throw of my life, well, guess what? You just discovered a niche. You can go after that market and try to, find a secondary career in that avenue.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of my advice as well aligns with yours, is just trying new things. And again, not being pressured into doing one thing. Like a lot of the a lot of people nowadays, the things they struggle with is that they're always trying to, you know, keep up with their friends or keep up with their competitors, whether it be family or just someone they haven't ever got along with. And this really takes you off your own path. And what you got to realize is that there's a unique path for everyone out there. And if you follow us on Instagram, you might have saw our recent post, and it's all about time in life. No one's on time, no one's late, no one's early. Everyone has their own path that's unique to them. And like John mentioned, I mean, all the things he said today kind of feed right into that, is that you have to find your own path, and you have to realize that everything that you do towards your goals, towards your passions, towards your ambitions is on your own time scale. You don't have to compare it, and you shouldn't be, you know, criticizing yourself because it doesn't align with your peers or your enemies or your family. But it's all about yourself and how you set those goals and what you hope to achieve. But that was our last question here for John. It was just an amazing interview. I am really just really happy with how it went, in just this being our first interview episode ever. I don't know how we're going to match this. I hope some of these interviews on Saturday, you know, might be just as good as this one, but it's going to be hard to beat. John did an incredible job. Can't thank him enough. This was also last minute. So again, we just can't thank John enough. John, just one more thing for you to share with the audience is, how can they find or contact you, whether it be through your brand, your company, social media? If you just wanted to share some of that information with the audience, that'd be great.
Yeah, for sure. Just one thing real quick. I thought of while you were saying that. Just a quick statement is, don't be afraid if your passion is in the area that someone has already done something. Don't be afraid to go after it. And just a quick caveat is, Jeff Bezos, Barnes & Noble's already existed when he started selling books on Amazon. Just keep that in mind. So he thought he could do that industry better. So if you find a passion and you see someone else doing it, don't ever think for a second that you can't do it better than them and grow it bigger than that company. Same with Nike. Adidas started after Nike. And look what happened. They're just growing in the industry. So as far as contacting me, right? Instagram handle is at John Karluk. That's JohnKarluk. You can also email me at, it'd be John at Paradigm. It's paradigm-athletics.com. And the website for my company, which you can either use the contact page on there, is paradigmathletics.com. There's a dash between Paradigm and Athletics.
Thank you so much, John. And we'll be sure to post that information on our social media feeds as well, just in case you didn't get that. But yeah, I mean, again, reach out to him. He's obviously been through a lot of ups and downs in his life. He's definitely someone that would be of benefit for you to, you know, he has that one program where he could coach you and go through 4 weeks. And if you don't like it, it's whatever. And if you like it, you could sign up officially. But yeah, I mean, I definitely recommend reaching out to John. You could gain a lot of insight, maybe more than you have after listening to this short interview with him. But yeah, we'll post it on our Instagram, our Twitter. Just be sure to check it out and, you know, give him some support. His company is, you know, fairly new. It's a startup, and we support startups here. They work hard. Every startup founder grinds. They've been through a lot of up and downs, failures. So we do as much as we can here to support startups. And so definitely visit his website, check out his shirts, his clothing and everything that he does there. I'm pretty sure you guys will be pleased with what he has to offer.
There's a new launch coming in 3 weeks.
3 weeks, all right.
Just in time. Yeah, keep posting.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, keep us posted. We'll definitely be posting stuff on our own Instagram and social media as well, just to keep our audience informed of what you're doing, you're accomplishing out there. But again, thanks, John. Appreciate everything you've done for us.
For sure, guys. Thank you.